Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today. As we face the issues, we always are delighted to have your input, your dialogue, and discussion. Lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to our studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your comments, your questions, your dialogue and discussion, reference to the issue of the day. Today we're going to be talking about, ladies and gentlemen, America with no Bill of Rights. America with no Bill of Rights, question mark. How would that be? What kind of nation would we live in? What could you expect? How could we respond? What would Christians do? What would our churches do? How would we do in relationship to protecting our homes and our families? What about, ladies and gentlemen, our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, the freedom of the press, et cetera, et cetera? How would we do, ladies and gentlemen, what would America be like without the Bill of Rights? And that's a good question, and I think it deserves to be asked. I think it demands to be answered, especially in the era in which we're living in, where it seems as though the Bill of Rights are being eviscerated. It seems as though we have no constitutional remedies. It seems as though there's a push in America by the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats to destroy our Bill of Rights. So where do we stand? What do we have in these freedoms, ladies and gentlemen, that we would not have if our Bill of Rights were taken away from us? How would we respond? That's the subject. That's where we're going today. So let me invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. Jot that number down or memorize the number, 831-0917, 831-0917. Jump in at any point in place. We're going to have an elongated monologue, but the mics are always open for your interest, for your involvement, for your dialogue and discussion. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. It's not a matter, ladies and gentlemen, that you shall know the truth, or the truth shall make you free, as some people use the paraphrase and partial quote of the Scripture. In fact, I believe it was Nancy Pelosi a number of months back used that partial quote of the Scripture, and that's simply inadequate. That's not what the Scripture is saying. If you continue, constantly stay in, dwell in my word, then you're my disciples truly, indeed, and then you shall know the truth. Knowing the truth comes through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus then said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then to further elaborate on that, to give us a greater picture of truth, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, the word of God is truth. It is without admixture. It's without error. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I commend that book to you. It's called the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, as we talk about truth, it is not an unusual thing to find those that disdain you because you stand for truth. It was George Orwell many years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And I think you can look around, ladies and gentlemen, and especially notice what's taking place in the Beltway in Washington. Notice what's taking place in the blue states, as they're called. That is the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrat states and cities, where we see the Bill of Rights and any constitutionality being eviscerated. The people have no choice, no voice. It seems as though whatever the people think or say that's there, they are simply subservient to the dictator, wannabe dictator governors and mayors in those cities. But it was John Huss, the theologian of the 15th century, the church reformer, that said, "Christian, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we ought to be as Christians in particular. This is the reason I'm so passionate about the issues of life, the issues that affect government, the issues that affect our home, the issues that affect our churches. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And anything that affects those areas, and we talk about them, they are central to biblical truth. And so I say that we need to be central biblicists as Christians. We need to take seriously the Word of God that we have today. In fact, when you go back and we talk about the Bill of Rights today, and we notice and understand there's a fundamental foundational thread from the Word of God, the Bible, to all that we find in our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and within our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. So let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, what we find in the thought today is not something just out of fiat by man. It is something that originated by God. It is out of God's Word. And as a result of having those faithful founding fathers that codified it then in our founding documents, we have the privileges today of saying and doing things that no other nation, hear me, no other nation on the face of the globe has the freedoms that we have today. We have the freedoms because of our founding fathers, and they codified them in our Bill of Rights, which is within our Constitution, and then our Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen. This portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment like Honda generators, and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer all of your questions about power backup generation, as well as answering your questions about landscape lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the home of the gigantic U.S. flag. That flagpole stands about 165 feet in the air. Old Glory flies 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any more serious, important subject that we could talk about today than that of our Bill of Rights. Our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever pondered, have you ever thought, have you ever wondered about the liberties and the freedoms that Americans are so blessed to have, and how we have them and what they mean to us? And how have we considered how and why we have these liberties? Where do these liberties come from? They came from God. Where do these freedoms come from? They're from God. But they're codified in our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to cover all of our amendments. In fact, the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, were ratified and effective December the 15th, 1791. We have enjoyed, ladies and gentlemen, over 200 years of having the freedom. 244 years is our birthday, but over 200 years of having the freedom that we found in our Bill of Rights. The last several years, we found the evisceration, the evacuation, the avoidance, and the by fiat with the some of the governing bodies passing rules and regulations and laws and bills that are eating away at our Bill of Rights, undermining the fundamental foundation of what we call our freedom documents in America today. In fact, here's an article that says, "People of faith are being silenced." This article reads, and it's by Alliance Defending Freedom. They're defending a man named David Benham. David Benham couldn't believe it. "I was shocked," he said, as David was handcuffed, put into a squad car, taken to jail. He couldn't help but to wonder, what did he do to deserve this? On the morning of April the 4th, David and several members from his pro-life group, Cities for Life, were peacefully praying for and counseling women in need outside an abortion facility in Charlotte, North Carolina. The group was following COVID-19 social distancing guidelines by not gathering in groups larger than 10 and staying at least 6 feet apart from each other. Still, David was arrested for praying and speaking, both which are protected in the First Amendment. It's ironic, friends. While an abortion business was allowed to continue ending the lives of innocent babies during the COVID-19 outbreak, pro-life advocates were arrested for simply praying outside on the sidewalk. In America, the government can't treat people of faith as second-class citizens. The First Amendment makes that very clear. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have, number one, we have the freedom of speech. The freedom of speech. As Americans, we are free to speak. We're free to say as we please. Yes, some people may not like it. Yes, some people may disdain it. Yes, some people may reject it. Ladies and gentlemen, some may not like what we say. Some may disagree with what we say. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm still thankful that we live in America where we have the freedom of speech, although we are watching it being eviscerated today. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast. We're watching the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom to keep and bear arms. We're watching these things, ladies and gentlemen, today being diminished more than in the history of the United States of America. I don't know of any time in my lifetime, ladies and gentlemen, where we've seen a greater attack on our religious liberties and our freedom of speech than we see taking place today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bill of Rights provides Americans with this liberty, the freedom of speech. In fact, if you've not read it, let me read it to you. If you've not read it lately, Congress shall make no laws representing the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Ladies and gentlemen, what BLM, Black Lives Matter, is doing has nothing to do with black lives, has nothing to do with the pigmentation of skin. What Antifa is doing has nothing to do whatsoever with the peaceful protest. That those two groups are not peacefully protesting, and yet the media would have you to believe that they simply have the freedom to do so under our First Amendment. Well, they're not addressing that with the freedoms that we ought to have as freedom of religion for Christians today under the First Amendment, or the freedom of speech for the Christians. They're not looking at it that way. We're bifurcating, ladies and gentlemen. We're setting up in our society today two levels of law enforcement and two levels of constitutionality, and that is for some one level and for some another. This is not so in any other nation, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a nation around the globe today that has the freedom of speech as we have codified in our Bill of Rights in America. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, other nations see this and put it into a realm of policing the speech, where they say what you can say and what you can't say. Some would call it hate speech, what I'm saying even now on this broadcast. Hate speech today, ladies and gentlemen, is considered illegal. And much speech that we have today, in fact, you can go to the nation of Canada just above our northern border, and you can go into Canada, and you cannot go on the radio broadcast or television broadcast to say anything, biblically speaking. You cannot biblically speak about the what the Bible says in relationship to the sodomite lifestyle. It's illegal in the nation of Canada. It's illegal. And you'd be put off the air summarily because it is considered hate speech. We do not realize what we have. What I'm wanting us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is to recognize what we do have as American citizens in our liberties, in our freedoms. And we ought to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we're watching the foundation of our nation being destroyed. We're watching it being eviscerated. And the scripture clearly says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That ought to be a question that we call out and answer. That ought to be a question that we have resolution that we'll not allow to be taken away in America. Ladies and gentlemen, in Europe and in Canada, they will not allow speech that says anything that is against the LGBTQ agenda. They will not allow anything to be said that is what they would consider hate speech. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, with the rapid approaching political agenda of the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats, our freedom of speech will be canceled only because it is not politically correct. Speech will be allowed under, speech will not be allowed as we know it today under the Biden presidency. Keep in mind, hear me, and hear me well today. We'll talk about it further in this broadcast. We've got about 90 days, ladies and gentlemen, to decide what kind of America do we want. Do we want an America with a Bill of Rights? Do we want an America that speech is free? Do we want an America where religious liberties are still free? Do we want an America where the right to keep and bear arms are still valid? Or do we want an America where Joe Biden, bunkered down in his basement, will allow his vice president and others to literally control the United States of America? Joe Biden will not be, hear me, Joe Biden will not be the president of the United States of America. Even if elected, Joe Biden will not be the official president of the United States of America. He will simply be a name and puppet that others will use, and America will be summarily destroyed as we know it today. We will never know the same America if Joe Biden is elected as president of the United States of America. So if you value free speech, if you look at our right to speak freely, now that doesn't mean we get an elevator and scream fire. That's been understood and resolved through the U.S. Supreme Court. By the way, the Supreme Court does not make law. The Supreme Court is not the legislative branch. The Supreme Court is simply the judiciary branch. When the Supreme Court issues a decision, you can read behind any decision the Supreme Court's ever made. It is referred to as the opinion of the Supreme Court. And I have harped on this for years and years and years, ladies and gentlemen. Any president, any time, in any era can simply say to the Supreme Court, okay, that's your opinion. We simply disagree with it. We're not going to abide by your opinion. We cannot have two legislative branches. And yet today, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court has become the legislative branch that's overriding laws and making laws with nine robed justices making the decision for the direction of the United States of America, morally, ethically, politically, and spiritually. The Supreme Court has no right and authority under our constitutional Republican representative form of government and the constitutional elements that we find today. They have no right to do so, but they're doing it. We're allowing it as a people. We're watching our Bill of Rights. We're watching our rights being eviscerated. I believe we have a caller on the line. To go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you. Pleasure to speak with you. I've been listening to you for quite a while, but here's my viewpoint of where we're at in this country. The millennial generation, the 20-somethings that are basically terrorizing and tearing up America have lost the fear of God or don't believe in God. And so what they're doing is they're looking for government to be their God. And they don't want the morality of God. They just want every little need met. They want to build a humanist utopia in America. And America and its constitution was not built upon that. I think you've quoted, and I've heard of it, that the Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. And if you look Absolutely. At what's happening in Portland and Seattle, it is the least churched area in the United States.
Yes, it is.
So we're seeing the result of what's going on there. And I believe if the Lord doesn't send revival upon this nation, that we are already in the midst of judgment, and it will continue. And if we don't stand up as Christians and Christians vote and come out in droves, we will lose this country in the next generation. The 20-somethings will become the 30-somethings and 40-somethings, and the liberal professors that are at universities will continue to kill this nation as it is today. The Judeo-Christian ethic will be gone. And I'll let you comment and hang up. And thank you, sir, for your ministry.
Thank you so much, and God bless you for that call. You're exactly right. In fact, I have in my hand an article that says University of California teaching assistant says he would assassinate Jesus if he had a time machine. The article then reads, Tim Snedeker, who is also a doctoral student in religious studies at the public university in California, tweeted late Sunday night that he would assassinate Jesus of Nazareth if he had a time machine. In a follow-up tweet, he said he would also consider murdering Jesus before he was baptized, end quote. That gives a good illustration and supplements what you've just said in our caller, that we have a nation that's made up primarily In fact, the 2024 election, if not in this election in 2020, the 2024 election, listen, ladies and gentlemen, hate to say it, but it's factual. The 2024 election, presidential election, will be decided by what are called today the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group today. If we miss the bullet, as it is called, if we re-elect President Donald J. Trump November the 3rd of this year, if God divinely intervenes and gives us a four-year reprieve, there will certainly be a major declension in the 2024 election. We need to wake up, smell the coffee, as the world says, and recognize what we have in our Bill of Rights and what God has given us as a constitutional republic and a free nation today. We're losing grip on the nation that God has so blessed for 244 years. We need to recognize where we stand and what is taking place. We have, ladies and gentlemen, today, because of our Bill of Rights, we have the freedom of worship. The freedom of worship. And I don't know about you, but the freedom of speech, the freedom of worship, and the right to keep and bear arms, those three things, ladies and gentlemen, if we lose those three fundamental elements of our Bill of Rights, we've lost America. We've lost America. It would be a nation that would be afloat. It would be a nation that would be adrift. It would be a nation that would be hopeless of all nations and would be just as all other nations that we see today around the globe that do not have the Bill of Rights, the constitutional liberties that we have today. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have the religious liberties and the freedom of worship. And these are our foundational Bill of Rights. The first thing a socialist, Marxist, BLM, democratic America would see is the abridgment, if not totally the abandonment of any religious liberties at all. We're watching that, ladies and gentlemen, as it's creeping upon us. I'm looking at an article here where it says the Supreme Court of the United States decision, Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley versus Steve Slotnick, governor of Nevada, Justice Gorsuch, dissenting from the denial of application for injunctive relief. This is a simple case. I'm reading from the directive, the article from Justice Gorsuch, where he dissented in the decision on July the 24th of 2020. He said, this is a simple case. Under the governor's edict, a 10-screen multiplex may host 500 moviegoers at a time. A casino, too, may cater to hundreds at once, with perhaps six people huddled at each craps table here and a similar number gathered around every other roulette wheel there. Large numbers and close quarters are fine in such places, but the churches, synagogues, and others are banned from admitting more than 50 worshipers, no matter how large the building, how distant the individuals, how many wear a face mask, no matter the precautions at all. In Nevada, it seems, it is better to be in entertainment than religion. Maybe that's nothing new. But the First Amendment prohibits such obvious discrimination against the exercise of religion. The world we inhabit today, with a pandemic upon us, poses unusual challenges. Listen to Gorsuch's statement now. But there is no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel Church, end quote. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, that took place July the 24th of this year. We are watching the evisceration, the abridgment of our liberties as found in our Bill of Rights. We're asking the question in this broadcast today, America with no Bill of Rights, question mark. Is that what you want? Is that what you feel is all right? Is it okay if we have no Bill of Rights in America today? Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, as pastors, as churches, as moral, ethical conservatives, we need to be petrified over what we're seeing taking place today in the mob rule in our streets across America. Just about every major city in America today, especially, and in particular those cities that are controlled by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic mayors and governors in those states. We're watching the evisceration of the Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article written by Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. When radical governors encourage Marxist revolutionaries to riot but ban godly worship, it is obvious there's a bigger agenda afoot than fighting COVID-19 pandemic. Our nation is in great peril, but hope is not lost. Further, he says, when COVID-19 crisis began 4 months ago, we were told it was not in unequivocal terms that millions of Americans were going to die. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another story that I broadcast a number of times. We were lied to by WHO, Dr. Tedros, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, and coming straight out of the London Institute where Professor Ferguson had calculated that 2.2 million people would die in America unless we shut down the churches and shut down commerce, closed businesses. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, under the governor's orders, the states were shut down, churches were forced to close. And he continues in this article. Over 4 months later, under the U.S. COVID death count continues to lag behind the average annual flu and pneumonia death. But our churches remain restricted and are staying closed. Meanwhile, cities like Los Angeles, Chicago, Minneapolis, Portland have experienced riots, with some buildings shattered burned by the same Marxist revolutionaries some governors and mayors praise and allowed to run loose. Violent revolutions throughout history have first attacked churches. Listen, during the French Revolution, the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris was turned into a temple of reason. The church's properties were seized by the state, and the priests, deacons, and bishops were either killed or made civil servants. During the Bolshevik Revolution, the Soviets turned churches into barns and bordellos, filling God's houses with literal and figurative filth. Right here, right now in America, the stories of Liberty Counsel's clients illustrate the growing danger all too well. And it talks about some California officials threatening to shut the utilities off of churches if they remain open. Governor J.B. Pritzker in Chicago Health Department. And we find also Governor Janet Mills decreed that only churches she approves can be open. Governor Andy Brashear forced churches attendees to be equivalent to only 14 days of house arrest. They didn't follow his orders. Governor Ralph Northam limited church services to 10 people. This article says, and he makes this statement, if we do not stop these attempts to restrict and silence our churches now, the tyrants will attempt to ban the Bible next, because that's what happens in Marxist revolutions, is the banning of the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what we see being pushed for even today. Here's an article from American Family Action Alert. Churches across America are under attack. State and local governments have hijacked the China virus pandemic to prevent Christians from congregating for worship. God instituted government for the purpose of restraining and punishing evil, Romans 13:1-4. But he also commanded his people not to forsake the assembling of believers, Hebrews 10:25. California, for example, the state has banned Christian worship for more than 100 people, et cetera, et cetera. And this article goes into great detail of what is taking place. And further, he says, while governments are forcing Christians not to congregate and worship God together, we must remember that we are to fear God, not man. Remember the words of the psalmist, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful that people like Dr. John MacArthur, senior pastor of the Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, he's taken a stand publicly that says we're not closing our church. They remained closed for some 8 weeks. He said, no longer. We're going to open. And now the state of California said, if you remain open and continue worship services, we're going to shut the power off. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be aware of the forces that are upon us, and it's the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats that are trying to take away, eviscerate, destroy, and abridge our Bill of Rights. We must stand and say, America will honor God, and we will retain and continue to honor Him through the Bill of Rights that we have in our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back. We're talking about America with no Bill of Rights.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.